Now, there's something a little refreshing on a morning after a nasty back and forth in the presidential debate. That is the guitar of Richard Thompson, who's been writing and playing music professionally for nearly 50 years. He can play something as delicate as this on the acoustic guitar, or just plug in and blow the lid off the dump. Richard Thompson finishes three nights at the City Winery here in Atlanta tonight, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome, and thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
3 days in one place. That's got to be pretty unusual. You're a frequent visitor to Atlanta, but now have you finally gotten to see it?
a little bit more. It's a big town. It's hard to get around in even 3 days. But it's nice to spend multiple days in the same town. It doesn't happen very often as a musician.
No. And has there been some place that you wanted to see that you haven't yet?
In the world or in Atlanta?
Yeah, in Atlanta. Oh, there's a world outside of Atlanta? I wasn't worried.
Just barely. I mean, I'd love to get a little bit out of town and do some hiking or something. That would be nice.
So. Oh, and there are places to do that. Mm. Now, as we have been saying during our fund drive here, you know, we are in the story business, and so are you. Mm. And your songs, you know, they have structures. They have limits. Okay, we have to have rhyme and so forth. When you're putting a story together in your head, how do you know when you've got one that really fits into a song?
I don't think you do know until you play it in front of an audience, and then the audience lets you know if they get it. You know, it's hard to tell when a song's finished. sometimes the process grinds on for years. In some cases, but I suppose you know, you sit down and you write a story at some point, you have to put a little dot on the end and say that's it.
Yeah. Where do your characters come from? I mean, there's some of the characters who, especially ones who sing like in the first person, they're very interesting people.
Yeah. I think it's either based on people that you know or people you've observed, or I just make stuff up. You know, I just sit down deliberately to write a story just off the top of my head. And you look at it afterwards and you think, well, actually, that's about me, or that's about so-and-so. You know, But sometimes it's just an unconscious thing, and you kind of piece it together afterwards.
And your lyrics will often have a little unexpected twist to them. I mean, I'm just going to pull one out of the air. There's the song Sibella, where a man's describing some mysterious woman he's obsessed with. And he says, Marie Antoinette, she smiles that way.
Yeah, which she does, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. But everybody has their own interpretation of what Marie Antoinette smiles like.
Well, that's because she's dead and we can't really see the actual smile. Well, I think it's also important that a song is open to various interpretations. You know, a song creates pictures in your head. And everyone has their own picture, so you see your own drama unfolding, and that can be a variety of things.
But is that sort of, excuse me, you know, Noah's expecting to hear about Marie Antoinette at the beginning of the song, so is that something you strive for, like, okay, that unusual little twist
in
the lyrics?
I think probably strive is too strong a word. I think I stumble around and hit on things occasionally, you know, it's a bit more like that.
Yeah. But is it fun when you hit on something like that?
It's great fun, yeah. I mean, excuse me, one of the nice rewards about songwriting is hitting on the unexpected. You know, you start a song and then you find a line and you think, wow, that's fantastic. It's like a gift. And sometimes you find an ending to a song that kind of wraps it all up and you think, well, you know, where did that come from? But it's absolutely wonderful.
And is it a gut feeling that, you know, you were talking a moment ago when the song's done, when it's the thing?
Yeah, if you can wrap it up neatly in that way, then you know it's a complete thing.
Have you ever had one that you just struggled over for years and years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some songs where, you know, you work at probably, you know, for years. I mean, literally years. I've had songs knocking around for 10, 15 years that I can't quite finish, and I probably never will. But in the process of trying to write that song, other songs get written kind of in the margin, you know. While I'm doing this one, I think, oh, I'll just write that line down because that's a good line.
Yeah. Do you have a little notebook for lines that don't have homes yet?
They're sort of scattered around. It's a chaotic process, in the process of trying to write one song, you write six other songs without realizing it. It's a nice way to get your unconscious working. I shouldn't be giving these secrets away, but.
Richard Thompson is with us. He is finishing up three nights at the City Winery here in Atlanta. The final show is this evening. And we are right now trying to raise a little money for the operations here at 90.1 WABE, 678-553-9090, or online at wabe.org. Make a gift of support as we continue our conversation. When it comes to guitar playing, I mean, you have some very distinct tendencies, I guess. You've even called them eccentricities, I think. Is that a sound you're trying to achieve? Like, okay, I want to do something different on the guitar than somebody's done before.
I've always grown up in a world of guitar players. There's always been too many guitar players, even since the 1950s. So I've always thought, well, I have to do something different. You know, I don't want to be another blues guitarist, one of those English, you know, suburban white blues guitar players. Because
you started, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they were absolutely tenor penny, and I thought, well, I want to do something that's a bit more indigenous, that relates a bit more to the culture I come from. So, you know, my influences are probably a bit more Celtic. So that makes me a little bit different from other people, I hope.
But you have just searched for other influences way beyond the world from which you came.
If you're secure in your style. And if you have a strong indigenous base to what you do, then I think you can grab things from anywhere. You can hear something from Africa, or you can hear something from the 1920s jazz or something. You say, well, that's good. I'll grab that and I'll incorporate it in what I do. So I don't think that's being a dilettante or a colonialist. I think that's just being so someone who is trying to expand their own style.
Yeah, I mean, that begs the question, of course, is there anything really original?
Anything really original? I think that they just decoded something from about 3000 BC, a piece of music, and it sounds a bit like something that's sort of Scottish or Irish. You know, it doesn't. You know, the mode is very familiar. That's the mode, and it sounds like it could have been written yesterday. So, plus ça change, as they say.
They say. They certainly do. Your show that you're doing, wrapping up these three nights at City Winery, this is an all-request show.
Yes, it is.
Any trepidation when you came up with that idea and said, wait a minute, I want to take that back, and they had already printed the posters?
It's a bit like that. I mean, for the audience, it's lots of fun, but for me, it's hell, you know. because it's not just requests for my songs, it's requests for any songs. So we get some bizarre things. You know, we get like Puccini occasionally, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan, it's something from South Pacific. It's a very broad spectrum, Aerosmith. it's all over the place, you know. But I mean, it's mostly my stuff, but it's usually stuff that I don't know of my own catalog. So it's a tremendous challenge. The show's usually something of a mess, but the audiences seem to love it. They'll have to see a human being fail.
It's kind of like baseball.
Totally. Depends who your team is, of course.
Well, since you were kind enough to bring your guitar with us, and since you're going to be peppered with other people's requests for the next or for this evening, thought we'd let you request something from yourself to play this morning.
Hey, Richard, could you play that one off your last album? Yes, I can. This is a song called Beatnik Walking. This is a kind of a walking tour of the city of Amsterdam in Holland. So here we go. Yeah. Shoes, Mr. Murdoch's news, I'm going thunder, rain or shine. Got a papoose on my back, we're on the right track, Jack, to leave the beatnik loose behind. Amsterdam, where good things come in threes. Your trouble, my dad's shooting the breeze. Take the path down to the mill. I'm going to get my fill. I'm going to eat till the pot runs dry. and Frank's house and Rembrandt's tomb. I better make some room, 'cause Brother Vincent's on my mind. Life goes on behind the tiles and chintzes. Dirty water fed for kings and princes. Dutch is not a loving tongue. You say your peace and run. You show you care in other ways. Sailors in their Sunday best. I'm feeling overdressed. I've got to lose these blacks and grays.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Richard Thompson is with us in the studio. Our number is 678-553-9090, or you can pledge securely online at wabe.org, because we are in the middle of our fall fund drive to support programs like this one. You're no stranger to NPR stations and NPR audiences.
Absolutely not. No, I support my local station in Los Angeles, KCRW. And I come from Britain, where national radio is subsidized by the government, so you don't have to think about it. You pay for the TV, but the radio is free. So I'm very aware of the lack of government funding for public radio in America, and it's very important that people do subscribe.
A lot of your audience at shows, I mean, do they say, oh, well, I heard you on some Tiny Desk concert, or I heard
absolutely.
On something
absolutely,
like that
yeah.
on NPR?
Totally. Yes, it's one of the ways that that people hear about you, especially, you know, if you're a radio listener. I think radio listeners are a particular breed. they're usually educated and they like to get their information in that oral way. And it's people keep the radio on while they're doing other things as well, which is kind of a wonderful thing. I grew up doing that as a kid. You know, you just have the radio on all the time. Yeah. And you learn so much just by
osmosis or something.
Yeah, totally.
Is it still fun? I mean, you started with Fairport Convention, I think, when you were 16, was that right? 16
yeah.
or 17?
Well, probably 16, yeah.
Yeah. So, and you've been touring for years and years. Is it still fun?
No, it's terrible. It's miserable. Oh, it's okay. No, it's great. I mean, the best part of the job I do, I suppose writing's fun and recording's fun, but probably, you know, playing in front of a live audience is just the best thing you can do. I just love live music. I hate the fact that a lot of popular music is kind of made by machines, and people who perform live actually playing to backing tracks. They're not playing live. And I'm a great advocate of the live music experience for the performer and the audience.
Speaking of advocate, you mentioned in the song there, the Beatnik Blues, Mr. Murdoch's News.
Mr. Murdoch's News. Well, I never thought I'd ever write a song containing the name Rupert Murdoch. who I loathe and despise, but there you go. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
You can.
Okay.
Sure.
It's just my opinion.
It's a forum here. You can, yes.
Excellent. Okay. He owns my favorite newspaper, the London Times, which, you know, from the age of like 14, I've been reading the London Times. I can't switch at this point, but he took it over at a certain point, and he's been actually fairly hands off. He hasn't inflicted his political leanings onto the editorial.
Yeah, every once in a while, something political will sort of work its way in to your music. But is that really a big concern, or do you just write those when they occur to you?
Well, I think you write about whatever really gets you, you know, and sometimes political things do get you, you know, political injustice, you know, social injustice. You know, I think it's your duty to write about those things if you really feel them, you know. And sometimes you write about, you know, emotional stuff that's more personal.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but if there's something you'd like to play us out with, by all means. Richard Thompson, it has been a pleasure to have you in the WAVE studios. He is finishing up three nights at City Winery here in Atlanta. His latest album is called Still, and he hinted cryptically that there may be something going on in a studio soon.
Yes, I'm just going to the studio to record a few things, pieces.
All right. Anything you'd like to play us out with?
Okay, I'll just play something instrumental
because sure.
I'm in a funny tuning. So.
Okay. 678-553-9090 or pledge securely online at wabe.org. Support programs like this that bring you a great start to your day. And thanks.